right, yeah. We'll be in touch.
Look, you're listening to The Debrief. It's my London edition, Dave O'Neill here, and I've got Felicity Ward in the back of a cab. Sounds a bit insidious. How are you, Felicity?
I'm good, mate.
And I've just watched you do a radio show for BBC Four called News Quiz?
Called News Quiz, yeah.
Which has been going for 50 years.
I know. Like, that's longer than television in Australia.
And you were fantastic.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Because those shows can be hard, I reckon.
I felt like it was a bit tricky at the beginning. I think it's a hot room too. And
it was hot.
It's 29 degrees in London today.
So is it always like this in London? Or
every day. It's actually a bit cooler today.
Well, I might move here.
The entire city shuts down. Everyone freaks out and no one knows how to handle it.
And a lot of people get sort of semi-nude in the parks.
Yeah, it's a lot of very respectable men find a patch of grass and they just take their tops off.
So how long have you been in London for?
It will be, next month, it'll be 5 years.
Wow.
I know.
And so, but you seem established now as a comedian. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm now at a stage where I pick how many gigs I want to do.
Oh, that's good.
So that's a nice, very, very, very nice thing. But it was like lots of years getting
slogging
there.
It out.
Yeah. I've eaten shit all over this country.
Oh. I remember when you came back one time and someone, a promoter, said, oh man, we had Felicity Ward here last night. She just carved it up. Because she's been in London, she's very match fit.
Oh, right.
And I remember Hannah Gadsby saying that to me. You do so many tough gigs in London, you come back to Australia and it's a bit easier.
Yeah, well, it's because it's not just London. You're getting on I remember when I was kind of starting out and I got this club gig in
Leeds?
No, it was further. It's past Liverpool. I can't remember what it's called. Southport. Maybe it's Southport. Anyway. It's an 11-hour round-trip drive.
Oh, my God.
And it was £100 for the middle section.
And how was it?
Average.
Yeah.
Real
average.
It's
good to drive that far.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff. The car trip was wonderful.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we solved a lot of world problems.
Who was it with?
With a lovely man called Julian Dean.
Ah.
And we solved the world's problems.
Why did you come here?
All right, mate.
It's a very abrupt question. Why are you? Because you were doing well in Australia. We were on. I'm trying to think of where I first met you.
Spicks and Specks.
Spicks and Specks.
Maybe?
We did Spicks and Specks together.
We are.
And because you were from the Ronnie Johns.
Yeah, I wasn't even a comedian. I'd just done a sketch show.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what I was. It was honestly, it was so weird starting out doing stand up because I actually did Spicks and Specks before I did stand up.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I remember talking in the green room a lot, and you're from. Near Woy Woy?
Yeah.
Woy Woy?
You gave me a very helpful tip.
Now, what did I say?
You said, I said something about Woy Woy. We were just chatting, and you said, you should say something like that on the show. And I went, what? You went,
that's
a good angle.
Yeah, it is. Because Woy Woy is one of those places that sort of people have heard of.
And it sounds funny.
It is a funny name.
It's a funny name.
I've done gigs up, that's Central Coast, isn't it?
That is the Central Coast.
Yes. And what's the poor area that people always pick on around near Woy Woy when you. Maybe it's Woy Woy.
No, it's Woy Woy. But it's not really poor anymore, but like up further up north, up like Wyong.
Wyong is the one I'm thinking of.
That's where I went to TAFE.
Yeah. I remember doing Gosford, and there was a girl celebrating her 18th birthday down the front, and I said, oh, blah, 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 and you haven't got any kids? She goes, yeah, I've got a kid.
Yeah, of course she does.
Yeah, 18th birthday. She was saying,
do you know what? This is not funny. It's kind of tragic. In the 90s, the Central Coast had the highest rate of youth suicide and teen pregnancy in Australia.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I
got out.
You got out because you promoted bands, didn't you? You organised band gigs?
Yeah, how do you remember that?
Yeah, I just remember...
You freak.
...sitting, but also I did Randling with you.
Oh, yeah.
And we both... I did a gig in a prison recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
And how was it?
Yeah, it was fine. They were good. As someone said, it's a captive audience.
Yeah.
As you no granted pun intended. On Paddington 2, at the end of Paddington 2, it's a captive audience. And it's
spoiler cause
it's
in alert.
Have you seen Paddington 2?
No, I haven't.
Hugh Grant is unbelievable. He plays like a failed actor who's doing naughty stuff, but he's obviously...
Where did you get the inspiration?
Yeah. I love Hugh Grant.
Yeah, me too.
I love the fact that he's had 5 kids and he must be 50 now.
Sick.
He must be over... He's had 4... You look up his kid... His history... Because he kept saying, I don't want to have kids. Then he had a kid.
He's got terrible conviction.
Yeah, and he left the woman, went to another woman, had a kid with her, went back to the first woman, had another kid with her, and then he's got a fourth one now to one of the women. I don't know which one.
Hugh Yo-Yo Grant.
Yeah, anyway, he's very funny. But in prison, when I was in did my gig in prison, this guy said, when's Randling coming back?
No!
And I said, mate.
You are one of eight people that watch that.
You are the one person who's ever asked me about Randling. He goes, yeah, we watch a lot of TV in here.
Oh.
But it's been repeated at night.
So I've got
a friend, yeah, Brad Oakes, who's appeared on, you know Brad. He watches a lot of, he must watch a lot of late night TV because he said, oh, Randling was on, oh, it's during the day or, it's on, it's been on.
Yeah.
Because Randling.
It's on in a lot of nursing homes, probably.
Well, the thing is, but as you know, on the floor when we filmed it, it was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
It was hosted by Andrew Denton, and it was a, but yeah, anyway, it didn't work. And, yeah, people like John Fain, the ABC Melbourne announcer, uses it as a punchline. He used to use it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the funding of shows like Randling, that kind of. But anyway, we enjoyed doing it. But that's where I got to know you as well.
Yeah.
Because we were in the grand final.
Yes.
Okay, well, I won with Anthony Morgan. But
hurtful.
Yeah.
Hurtful. I don't know why you'd bring that up.
Yeah, I know. But anyway.
Well, I promoted bands. But I didn't. I promoted bands when I was a kid.
Yeah,
like
at school,
I was
wasn't it?
16, yeah. At Gosford, actually. At Gosford High School.
What bands did you bring in to Gosford?
Very 90s Sydney bands.
The Vines.
So
I Want to Get Free.
Big Heavy Stuff.
Big Heavy Stuff.
They headlined one of the gigs.
Yeah, I love Big Heavy. That's the guys from the Ups and Downs.
Friends Will Rom.
Oh, I love Friends Will Rom.
Obviously.
I'm a genius. I'm a fucking genius. Yeah.
And then the last one, look, this is an inside scoop. I don't think I've ever named them. Basically, the last one I organised by myself. So I was helping another friend who put them on the first two. The last one I did by myself was supposed to be Sidewinder.
Oh, Sidewinder, yeah, I remember them.
They pulled out 2 weeks before the gig because they had this big American producer coming over to make the album.
Yeah.
So I had to photocopy a whole new bunch of posters and we had Front End Loader come.
Front End Loader, they were big, yeah, I remember them.
They're amazing, but I lost $1,500.
That
was in the 90s and I was 16.
So how did you go from that to doing comedy? Did you go to, you must have gone to uni.
I didn't go to uni.
Well, you didn't go to uni.
I
always believed that Ronnie Johns were all Sydney Uni people.
Well, they kind of, that's a very safe assumption. What happened was I did a play. I was an actor, right? And I did a play with a guy and he said, and it was, we were just being funny buggers together. And he said, I'm directing the Sydney University Arts Review.
Oh, and you're in it.
Yeah, and he said, do you want to audition? And I said, I don't go to uni. He's like, don't worry about it. And then there was this thing called the Third Degree that had happened the year before, which was like a Best of Sydney University.
Yeah.
That went to Melbourne Comedy Festival. And so I auditioned for that the next year, or the year that I did the arts review, got into that. So you would think that I went to university, but I didn't. I'm just a scab.
Yeah, right.
Scavenged my way in. And
that's
then,
interesting.
Then that's how Ronnie Johns came about.
Yeah, and then that, and quite a few people have kicked on from that.
Yeah.
Heath Franklin, who does Chopper, and he's very funny, and
Jordan Raskopoulos,
yes,
who is in Axis of Awesome,
and Reg Bombas's daughter,
yeah, Claudia O'Doherty.
Claudia O'Doherty's doing very good stuff,
really great stuff,
amazing.
And
it's funny because I met Reg Bombas. I was a big Metal as Anything fan.
I was a big Mambo fan.
Yeah, and I met Reg at Spicks and Specks, and I said, "So any of your kids in music?" He goes, "This was years ago." He goes, "No, but one of them was going to be a comedian. One's doing comedy," and it was Claudia.
Yeah, so. She's funny, mate.
Oh. And so anyway, back to the question. So why did you move to London? Because you're doing well in Australia. You're established.
Yeah.
You're getting on shows. You had a special on ABC.
Yeah. Yeah, things were good, but I wanted to get better.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt like the only way I could do that was in my power. Basically, I wanted more people to come to my shows.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get better. And I thought the only thing in my power is if I do more gigs, and I couldn't do more gigs than I was doing.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll come to London, try it out for 6 months, do a bunch of gigs, see what it's like. And then I got to the end of the 6 months and I didn't really know why I was coming back home.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like anything had changed. And then I met someone and then...
He's British?
He is British. Yeah. He's London as. And
bloody old gub, does he speak like that?
He's from like East, like the... Basically,
he's from East London?
He's basically from the city. Like,
wow.
The city section. Anyway. Then we started going out, and then I was just sort of over here, and it sort of felt like it wasn't easy when I first got here. I thought it would be easier to get into clubs than it was because I was already a working
Australia.
Comic.
Yeah.
And because I'd done Edinburgh like five times by the time I moved over here. And it just wasn't. It was just like, I, I'm, I, I don't have it as hard as like lots of other comics that have to do hundreds of open mics to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was some scrimping and saving.
Yeah, sure.
For a little while. And actually, Adam Hills helped me out.
Hillsy!
Bloody Hillsy, mate. He has been there for so many important parts of my career.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got me on... Do you know how I got on Spicks and Specs?
No.
I was going out with a guy who'd done a play with Adam Hills.
Oh, sure.
The guy came out to Australia. We went out to see Spicks and Specs live.
Yeah.
We're in a pub afterwards. Adam said, do you want a drink? And I said, I don't drink. And he said, I said, I'll have a Coke. And I said, I don't drink. And he goes, if you can be half this funny, I'll get you on my TV show.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's all right. That's Adam. He's the nice guy. That's what he says. And I got a call 2 weeks later from the talent producer.
Oh, yeah. No, well, he used to help me out. I was on his show and then I was on his Tonight Show.
Yeah, he's
yeah, he should come back to Australia. But he's so successful here now in England. He's not going to come back.
I think that he probably will
kids,
when he...
though.
Yeah. When he can have a bit of a break, but it's that thing too that once you, when it clicks over for you in the UK, you want to be here.
No,
it's so hard to be here to begin with.
Yeah.
Once it gets good, you don't want to leave.
No.
You want to milk it for everything. It's what you want to get back what it took from you.
And also, it's like conquering the world too, in a little bit. It's like conquering America, conquering England.
Well, it just means that like when Adam goes back to Australia, he can come back here and work and That's the plan. That's the dream.
That's a dream, man.
That hopefully by the time I go back to Australia, that I will have made a bit more of an impact so that they might miss me.
also Australian, they have that cultural cringe where they love people that go overseas.
Yes.
They love that. One of my friends moved to LA. He said he's never had more work offers from Australia since he moved to LA.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, you're in LA now? Come back and write for this show.
Oh,
it's like,
I know.
Dude, I moved because you wouldn't give me any work.
Yes, and I don't feel like... It's not that people won't give me work. I feel very grateful to Australia. If anything, I think early on they probably gave me too much work for how inexperienced
what?
I was.
Don't speak like that.
No, I was very confident, but not as funny as I was confident,
oh, okay,
if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. I understand.
Joke writing, God, I hope so, is so much better now.
Yeah. Oh, if anyone looks back at some of the early routines, it's just cringeworthy.
Yeah, but also, like... London, and the UK, you just have to get better.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to, whatever you were, you just got to be heaps better.
Yeah.
Because there are thousands of excellent comedians here.
Yeah.
Thousands. So if you're not doing something that's really good, then you might get work, you might not get work.
Yeah, get passed over. And is it better for women here, do you think? Or the same? It's a hard question, I know. It's hard to actually, yeah.
I think in some ways it's worse.
Oh, yeah.
There are so
many... It's quite conservative, England, I reckon.
Yeah,
in some ways. It's still very much... It's very class-driven.
It's very class-driven.
I can't believe how...
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we're in Australia. Like, we don't sort of think about who's working class, but even tonight on that radio show, you had the guy hosting, and straight away I went, oh, he's upper middle class.
Yeah.
The way he speaks. And yet Jeremy Hardy, who's been doing comedy for 34 years, who I... had one of his cassette tapes when I came here. I was telling him, I used to listen to it all the time. He would be sort of working class.
Yeah.
Would he educated working class?
Yeah, but he made a... Yeah.
He did go into a posh fortune at one point.
But I, when I first came over here, I didn't know that that had anything to do with class. Even though I knew that a posh voice was a posh voice, I didn't think, oh, they're posh because they went to an expensive school.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't even think about it. And, like, there was someone that I knew... that, like, I had a mutual friend, and my Australian friend said, oh, yeah, that because they're posh. And I went, oh, are they? She went, yeah, listen to the way she talks.
Yeah.
And I just didn't put two and two together.
She's very defined here.
Very defined, and it's very important to people. Like, people are very passionate that they're working class, and there is just systemic and structural bias.
In Australia, if you ask a working class person if they're working class, I did some survey once, most of them say they're not.
Yeah.
They go, no, like my parents who are working class, I go, oh, no, my dad would go, no, we're middle class. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're not working class.
We don't really know what it is because we're not defined by it. Like, the class, I haven't lived in many countries, but they hate poor people here.
No, do they?
Oh, yeah, mate. They've, since 2010, they have cut resources to homeless.
Yeah, yeah, it's mean sort
by 50%, and homelessness has doubled. Like, there is a direct correlation. And, conservative governments, and it's about austerity, and it's all about cuts, and it's pretty grim. It's really grim.
What class is your now husband from? Would he be?
Middle class.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But his dad, like, they're both from, like, his dad is like a East Londoner.
Proper East Londoner.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm doing that accent. I don't even know what accent it is.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not close.
My wife keeps claiming I'm racist when I do British accents on the streets here.
Well, you know, you'll find out with a little punch to the face soon enough.
Well, I always say to the kids, if I've got British and Irish heritage, and we can make fun of our heritage. I just can't do a Jamaican accent, for example.
You absolutely cannot.
No, that's a no-go. So what sort of gigs do you do here live? Like, what are you...
Well, I mean, recently I do all kinds of gigs.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to host a charity tonight.
Yeah.
And then the news quiz came up instead. But a couple of weeks ago, I opened for Maria Bamford,
who's
one of my favourite comedians of all time.
I heard you smashed it. Stuart Goldsmith, who I interviewed last night for this podcast, said that he heard that you absolutely smashed it.
Oh, that's very nice.
And he's a big fan of yours.
Stu was there.
Oh, was he there?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, there you go. That's how he knows.
Yeah. Yeah,
insider
knowledge. He heard it from the stage.
Yeah, right.
He heard it with his ears.
How long did you have to... I love Maria Bamford. How long did you have to do before her?
20.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, and I opened for Catherine Ryan too earlier this year.
Wow.
And it's just like...
They're good gigs. I mean, you've got to be good, though, to win those crowds out, because they are there for that person, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's sort of a different... I've opened for people before, and... I can totally hear my accent getting stronger talking to you.
Yeah, talking to me, I'm very Aussie.
Yeah, I know.
My Swiss cousins, I've got a brother lives in Switzerland, and their kids said that I had the Aussiest accent out of any of my family, apparently.
Oh, that's an honour.
It's an honour.
It's an honour.
But my wife believes, because I'm a comedian, I talk more Australian.
Yeah, I do it too. Because I was an actor in Sydney, and I'd work as a waitress, and people would say to me, oh, you're not from Sydney, aren't you?
Oh, really?
And I hated it, so I started speaking, you know, using my acting classes. And
yeah, well.
You
know,
but then, as soon as I started doing stand-up, my...
Yeah, it comes out.
Yeah, it just went back.
So they assumed you were from the country, did they?
Yeah, which is, you know, someone has affectionately said that use the word sea bogans, which I really like.
Oh, sea bogans, I've never heard.
It's pretty cute,
isn't
it?
But there's a few of you. Look, Julia Morris is from up there, isn't she?
She's from the Central Coast. Reese Nicholson is from Newcastle.
Oh, of
course. Yep. Sarah Kendall is from Newcastle.
Wow.
There's lots of us.
Well, you were great on that show tonight. I was so excited to see Kerry
Godleyman.
I don't know her name, but she was Hannah in the Ricky Gervais show Derek, which I loved her in that show.
Yeah. And she was
so convincing in that show.
She's so good.
And she's a great stand-up, yeah.
Mate, go and watch her live at the Apollo set. But she's just got this like. There's nothing funnier than Kerry being exasperated. Oh, we're here just on the left, thanks, mate.
Okay, well.
This is
you're listening to the debrief. I have Felicity Ward in the cab. Hang on, I've got to get a photo.
Hi there, I'm Carl Quinn.
Hi, I'm Andrew Young. We are the Clappers, your source for all kinds of sauce when it comes to cultural entertainment in the podcasting style.
That's us, we're the Clappers.
You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast, and you know where that is.
You're back on the debrief. Now, Felicity's got to go. We've pulled up at home. There's people waiting for her. Bit of a party. Which is your house? Are they looking at...
Nah, that's not my house.
That looks like some sort of crazy student share house.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crazy area.
Is that noisy, that house?
No.
They're opening their windows and standing on the balcony.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... Look, it's a funny area. It's not really any one thing. It's a lot of mishmash.
Sure.
There's a hairdresser on the corner just there. I'm pretty sure that's a drug front. They always have really expensive cars out the front and men yelling into their phone. And then the other night, there was a woman screaming on the road, and we came out and they were just having a breakup.
What is that car trying to back into you there, Steve?
Yeah.
Something's going on with her.
Why doesn't he just go forward? It's a fucking round street. It's a ring road.
I want to see a bit of British road rage. Here we go.
Mate.
It's a very posh. It's a BMW. Okay, so I've got some questions to ask everyone. What went well tonight and why in the gig? Normally I do a gig with someone, but because I watch you, what went well tonight in the radio quiz?
I felt like it didn't get good till halfway through. I felt like they were not warm to me until I started talking about enzymes.
Oh, that was very funny when you talk about enzymes.
I don't know why they enjoyed that.
But often you got to warm up on those shows, and they've got their regulars. They obviously knew Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the host was very... What's the host name?
Miles Jupp.
He's very funny.
Mate, he's so funny.
He's toured Australia a bit, he was telling me.
He's so quick.
What didn't go well then?
The first do you know what though? The first joke, I was like, I'll get this one out because it's a strong one. And I thought, oh, it's a Radio 4 crowd. They go, and they did not think it was that funny.
What was that one?
Where it's a political joke.
Oh, okay, right.
About how all of the landing cards of the Windrush generation were destroyed in an office move, and I said, oh, the Conservatives, they were probably just moving to the right.
That was a good joke.
I thought it was a good joke.
I tried to start a round of applause.
Oh, thanks, mate. I thought that was funny.
With any organisational hazards that got in the way tonight of the gig, it went pretty smooth for a recording of a show.
Yeah, it was pretty relaxed. Mm. On the way, there was trouble on the Hammersmith and City line.
Oh, that's an organisational hazard.
That is an organisational hazard. It was also 29 degrees and I wanted to go to the pool.
So hot. You're a right swimmer. You were saying you're a swimmer.
I am a swimmer.
I used to be a swimmer. Oh,
it's really good, mate.
I know, it's good for
you,
isn't it?
Look at the best swimming pools in the world.
In Australia.
And you're not swimming, you're an idiot.
My physiotherapist keeps saying, you gotta get back in the pool.
Babe, I can't get underwater headphones.
I used to swim in the 80s.
Yeah,
how long ago it was.
Please get back in the pool, it will change you.
I should. How can we do better next time? It's the last question.
Write better jokes. Be confident from the start.
Yeah, be confident. You're funny. Is it the first time you've been on that show?
Yeah, it's my first time.
I'll have you back. I noticed the host was laughing at your jokes a lot.
Miles is just... That's the great thing about Miles. He's so generous. And he openly laughs at other comedians all the time. And he's so funny.
He was wetting himself.
We did Mock the Week, which is a panel show. I did that last year with him. And there was one point, and he was laughing so hard, his whole face went beetroot. And he's just got this giggly little girly voice laugh. And it is such a joy to watch him fall apart.
He's funny. I'd love to see his stand-up.
He has look at his live.
I'm going to look him up on YouTube, man.
His opening joke on his Live at the Apollo set is one of the best jokes I've ever heard. It's about being privileged, and it's... Oh,
he's got a privileged voice. Hey, thanks for coming to my podcast, for listening.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Come back to Australia sometime. Yeah. See us, all right?
I'll be back for Comedy Festival next year.
Yeah, right. Well, they'll miss you. They'll go, wow, Felicity Ward's back. She's back.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Oh, you've been listening to The Debrief, my London edition.